All right, so this is a Traffic and Safety Commission meeting on November 16th, 2022. I'll take roll. Chairman Reese?
Here.
Commissioner Gates? Here. Gillis?
Here.
Hoyt?
Here.
Rahman?
Here.
And Kazga? All right, Mr. Chairman, take it away.
I'm not sure we don't have minutes to approve.
Minutes to approve this evening.
If you don't mind, before we go to public comment and comments from the commission, we have Genevieve Benzinger here. I wonder if we could start with that. I'd like to speak to your request. We have your email. If you'd like to speak to it, you can, or you don't have to. Do you mind just taking the mic just so that Rick can hear you okay? Because since he's on Zoom, with your microphone, it'll be better.
All right. Is that better?
Yep.
So I live on Edgewood. I have three sons. I'm crossing Thatcher all the time to take the kids to school. And I've noticed that if the lead car going southbound slows to allow us to cross, the cars behind, I think that lead car is actually just trying to take a left to go eastbound on Oak. So they go around in the parking lane, and there's been some close calls. So I've noticed throughout River Forest, like on Chicago and Washington, that there have been bollards put up, and I thought that might be a really good solution. Problem.
Anybody on the commission have?
I have a quick question.
Sure.
Marked parking on that side of the
street. Not down at this end.
Not down,
a
right.
Little bit
in front
north.
Of Trailside.
A little bit
there's
north.
So I'm wondering, in addition to the bollards, because we've been doing that around the neighborhood like you've just mentioned, I'm wondering if, I don't know if this is incorporated into the study that's coming up, but obviously striping the crosswalks and then maybe marking the parking with a sign that says do not drive in the parking lane in addition to the bollards. But I just wanted to bring that up. That was a quick thought I had with that.
No, just cost a little money. That's future maintenance, not the end of the world. One of the notes I just wrote down was these bollards, because they're not tied to parking zones, which the ones on Chicago and Washington and Keystone are, and do the parking striping, I'd probably put in a couple more bollards to kind of taper out from the curb line to this so that's not as abrupt as it's shown right here.
Can I speak to that?
The parking lane. Sorry, go
May
on.
I speak to that?
Yeah, of course.
I think even more bollards would be better there, because even if the parking is marked, there still aren't a lot of cars that park there. So I would worry that a southbound going car would just go in, drive on top of that.
There's park there mainly.
Yeah.
Because this is kind of near the Trailside Museum.
Right, but they usually park a little farther north because the entrance at the Trailside is closer to Chicago and it's a long block. So it's usually open there, and cars just.
I think there's a trail entrance at that corner, just a little bit in.
Yeah, it's a little bit in, so cars will park all along Oak as it becomes Edgewood there.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments? Do you want to make a proposal or a motion?
After listening to Jeff and the resident here, Gabriel, Genevieve. Sorry. The more bollards idea resonates a little bit better with the idea of preventing cars driving in the right lane, whether it's parking or not, and driving and turning right or driving through or whatever.
For the record, so what I would be envisioning is something like this, where we do kind of one, again, we kind of bury one in the curb line and then taper them out. over a distance. Yeah, essentially, yeah.
We've seen that in the neighborhood before, haven't we?
We don't have bollards like that anywhere. Because we're always on the tail end of a parking lane where there should be.
You know, if...
I don't think area of the bike lane actually becomes part of like a widened sidewalk. Roadway here, or it's a
but it's not happening anytime.
Well, it's going. I mean, when the path does come through town, it's.
If there were a bike lane on. I mean, that's not.
Oh, but the plan is Avenue down to Madison and then Forest Park to the Prairie Path.
Okay. I don't think that alters.
No, and these are easy enough, our guys. So one of the things I do want to qualify, too, is the other bollards that we do have in town are, we have them as seasonal for winter snow operations. Those ones have recently been removed for the winter season.
I noticed that.
And then we'll put them back up in spring. So
would that be the idea here, that we would approve at least one thing that's under consideration is approving the idea, but they may not be installed till the spring? Part of the concern was how free access to the snow removal machinery during the winter.
Well, that has to be the case.
Counter to school season, but.
Yeah, but, I mean, obviously I would prefer it was there all the time, but I can't really speak to if that interferes with. Well, it's better them than us crossing.
I would imagine just like this, I think we could accomplish that with four. Just a couple to taper out and then a couple of.
I mean, I guess if the plan is to remove them during the winter. People do park there. Well, and eventually, isn't that, well, there is the striped crosswalk on the south side there.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, we use the striped sidewalk, but this is what they do. They take advantage of the parking lane here and come flying. I mean, they're coming so fast. I mean, even with the crossing signal, people will not, even the lead car will not stop. Yeah.
How do they plow when they plow on Chicago with the bump outs? Do they plow inside the bump out and then come out on Chicago Avenue?
Yeah, so they ride the curb lane, but then the curb jogs, they're forced to jog out.
Couldn't they just do that on these bollards too?
They could, but the plows right now ride up against the curb. And
oh, got it.
There's some resistance there, so. We're going to run into the same issues with Northeast study improvements that we're going to talk about later, because these are all new in pavement. At some point our crew is just going to on where things are going and that we're getting. Our crews are going to have to get used to plowing around stuff like this. But if we're going to make things like this permanent, like we are planning to do the improvements, curbs, and a lot more, plow up again, too. So.
As we've spoken a million times, commission, things evolve. I think at this point in time, I would just simply make a motion to get the bollards installed in the spring. and Jeff explained the four bollards and see how that works, see if there's a noticeable difference, and then as the Northeast study and the comprehensive village study comes into play, then we can adapt to that. But to embrace this petition, let's make a motion to install in the spring and take it from there after we get the rest of the.
I don't think I have any. I have an additional suggestion, but maybe we can take it up after that motion. Well, maybe in the interim, then we could put up a sign or something that says no driving in the parking lane, or that, you know, or you know, crossing or something.
We don't have a parking lane, or do we?
Well, yeah, I guess it wouldn't be. I guess it wouldn't be no driving in the parking lane. It would be no, you know, no passing on the right, or I don't know, something.
Yes.
You know, I think maybe a crosswalk ahead sign.
A
might
crosswalk
be
ahead sign for the winter, and then add the bollards in the spring, maybe.
Well, if I may make a comment, we've got these beautiful signs that light up and flash, and you can see them a half mile away, and people still aren't stopping when it says, you know, flash, 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 people are crossing here. I don't think any additional signage is going to help really for those type of people that are going around cars that are stopping at that point. I think all we can do is, you know, try the bollards in the spring, but additional signage I don't think will help at all.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we vote on signage or anything? Yes.
Commissioner Gillis?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Carol?
Yes.
Commissioner Hosga? All right. The other thing I want to point out is that, I think John had mentioned, the village is going to be doing a comprehensive village-wide traffic study very soon. We just had a kickoff. The first things we're going to be doing is survey to solicit. So I would certainly encourage you and anybody else who's in a similar position over there. We want the feedback, and if we can incorporate this into part of a much bigger conversation, that's a really good avenue to gather all that feedback together. So,
absolutely, because I would love to see a curve there, a bump out. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, I mean, I think as we indicated, I mean, I think started that we.
Else for the words. Thank you very much.
Any further discussion on what else do we want to hold?
I'm happy to.
All right, Genevieve, thank you for coming in.
You.
Okay, or your excuse. Right, Dale.
If you would, please. Hi, my name is Dale Jones. I'm at 632 Clinton, which is right at the corner of Oak and Clinton Place. And the reason I'm here is that I spoke with President Aducci and wanted to know if I could speak with the consultants that are coming in to do your traffic studies. He suggested that I come for the public comment session, as well as fill out the survey, which I intend to do. And it's been a lot of talking about signage and ignored signage, and this is kind of why I'm here. Now, I don't know if this has been a point of discussion among this committee. I suspect that it might have been, but, you know, I've I'm not a native Chicagoan, but I've lived in the village for 30 years. And so I've seen a lot of changes, and particularly I've seen the installation of a lot of stop signs. And I've also seen a great increase in the number of cyclists, particularly since the pandemic. And one of the issues that I have is the flagrant disregard that cyclists in this village have towards basic traffic regulations, particular stop signs. Another one that's particularly dangerous is driving the wrong way on one-way streets. I'm thinking particularly of Central Avenue, coming from Harlem over past the post office, because you've got the post office box there where you go drop off your mail, and there's parking in front, so you drop off your mail, you pull out, and you get a cyclist coming, you know, straight at you the wrong, the wrong way on a one-way street. A number of years ago, I called the police department and asked to talk with someone about this issue, and they put me in touch with a deputy chief who's no longer there. And the response I got from the deputy chief was that, well, you know, we don't write traffic citations to cyclists because the judge throws them all out. Seemed like a kind of a lame excuse to me, but and besides, we don't have the manpower to go around, you know, following cyclists or trying to enforce cycling regulations. With the increase in cycling, and particularly with the increase in cycling of children, because if I mentioned I live right on Oak. Okay, so all of the kids heading down to Roosevelt Middle School go right by my house, right through an intersection which over the years has been changed to an open intersection, stop signs to now a four-way stop. And cyclists, you know, adult cyclists go through that intersection. I don't see how they could even see at the speed they go through that intersection. I mean, they come shooting down Oak full speed, blow right through the intersection, and now the kids going to school are starting to do that too. And so I'm here in the hopes that something can be done as a result of this new consultant view coming in and this village-wide traffic study that you're doing. If we can do something to get cyclists to obey the law, that's basically what I'm saying. Because as a driver, traffic laws are there to for everybody's safety. And when you drive, you have to assume that when you come to an intersection, that the guy coming the other way also knows the law, okay? Because you have to sometimes take it on faith that they're going to stop, for instance, particularly if you don't have a stop in your direction. But with cyclists going, blowing through every single stop sign, and I'm not talking about a few. I'm talking better than 95% of the cyclists I encounter in this village run stop signs. And so I think it's haven't already had serious injury as a result of that, particularly with children. We're going to have some. Thank you for your time.
One personal anecdote, not related to my own cycling stop sign outing, but I was in Los Angeles, you know, several years ago, walking, and a police over came up to driving, and I had jaywalked, and I didn't get a ticket, but I did, you know, get a test on that score. Understanding cyclists.
don't like this. If winter's coming, do we think this is going to be abate somewhat because of the cold weather since winter's coming? But in the spring, perhaps we could ask the chief to, even though the judge, it bothers me that you said the judge throws them out, but at least the person with the citation has to show up in court, take off work, go to court. I mean, it will inconvenience them in some way. But again, we don't have enough officers around. Is it?
This is my own opinion. Schools, you know, educating, taking some opportunity, method, whether it's during an assembly or in a mailing to parents, the village. I don't know how many people read the village newsletter, but you know, some reminder that cyclists, you know, of the law, including stopping at stop signs, going the right way on the street. I would be more in favor of that. I'd also wouldn't be opposed to hate, you know, I guess with our police, with their priorities, hate to have them spend a lot of time stopping, you know, bicyclists. But if they're flagrant violations and they were to stop somebody to give them a warning.
So I don't know if they still do. They used to give
positive or a negative?
They would give them like a Slurpee coupon or something as a positive when the kids are wearing helmets. In the elementary school, kids are wearing helmets, so maybe it's a similar thing. We're just, or, you know, and it's kids too. Maybe they just, when they talk to the kids, they remind them or.
Lycra. Yeah. Well, my favorite solution to our speeding problem in town are speed bumps, and that would also solve this problem. I'll just throw that out there, even though I know that it gets a great deal of negative feedback.
You can keep dreaming.
So there
brave
go.
Man when there's only one resident in the room.
Yeah.
But, Jeff, you know, we do the monthly or the weekly newsletters.
Both.
Yeah. Just a blurb to the, because I know a lot of cyclists in town, and I just have a feeling they're the ones that are doing this, because, you know, it strikes me as them. So, you know, then you think the other way, you know, these cyclists are blowing through stop signs. What can happen if they make a mistake? They get hurt. So I agree 100% with Commissioner Reese here in that put it out there, educate, maybe do a little bit of ticket writing and go from there. But I don't know how we coordinate that with this grand study that we're doing, but a little education would be ideal.
Well, I mean, I assume that this study will.
Like lanes, but it's something I can their radar. So as they're looking at the various feedback that comes in from residents, that's my theme in a lot of cases, then yeah, we can certainly. Got a part of the comprehensive plan from a few years ago. There was a whole offshoot of a big plan with a study that. Yeah, so we're not delving back into that by design. That's not to say we're certainly something I will mention to them. We've got a kind of a running list of commentary like that we've already shared with the consultant, but I'm happy to add.
And this is in this category of. We have this perpetual problem that I'm sure you see all the time where stop signs, flashing sign at Oak, and doesn't matter. We'll do these things anyway. So, you know, what can we do? I mean, there's probably a limit on enforcement. I do think try to educate people. In some ways, I have mixed emotions. I mean, if there are more and more bikes on the street, and you know, people are aware of bikes on the street. They actually create a safer environment. The cars are aware of those bikes, and they need to be careful. But that doesn't mean that, you know, certainly true that bikes should follow the rules. Well, maybe what we ought to do, Dale, is that maybe we ought to ask the village to, as John said, maybe put a notice in the newsletter as a reminder to cyclists, follow the rules, and then maybe renew it in the spring, later spring, when the weather turns better. I don't know that it would be useful to, like, run it regularly through the winter, but maybe come spring, a reminder.
Yeah, do you know, is there a... I know at Lincoln School there's like a police resource officer that comes by periodically and the kids sort of know him. Do they have the same thing at Roosevelt? Because I'm thinking that, you know, having them sort of make, you know, I assume they do sort of a safety announcement at Roosevelt at some time during the year. Having them bring up bike safety is not a bad idea, because I don't see as much sort of stop sign running, but I do see a lot of like middle schoolers riding with no hands while texting, which is amazing to me on a couple of levels, but seems incredibly dangerous. And it's night and they're not wearing helmets. Yeah, so it's I think maybe having that sort of brought up in the context of like the school safety officers demos might be useful too.
For Ben Ransom.
Yeah. Yeah.
He does all that. I believe they hit all the schools in town. And I will talk to him, but I'm almost positive bicycle safety is one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Foremost things that they do.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking, that yeah, an occasional stop just as a warning would be. Thank you, Dale. Right, I think, yep, can you give us an update? Is that on the agenda for an update? No, after our last meeting, there was action from the village board.
Yep. So they, yeah, certainly. So most of these are what this group had recommended for approval in the first place with a little bonus at the end there. So I'll just kind of roll through the exhibits, make sure everybody's on the same page. This was Bonnie Bray just south of North Avenue. So you got North Avenue up here. This is the alley. We're going to be installing a full width cul-de-sac just at the south edge of the alley there out of these orange and white water-filled barriers for the time being. Or actually, they will be filled with brine because we quickly realized that water-filled barriers will freeze over the winter and probably. So, kudos to our superintendent of operations caught that. We're also going to be throwing a dead-end sign down at Lemoyne and Bonnie for obvious reasons. Correct. So this red line, curb to curb, nobody will be able to get through north or south. Over at Clinton, however, northbound traffic will still be able to get through. Southbound just won't be able to come past the alley. We'll have a do not enter sign there. Same thing, two or three of these barriers. Correct.
It's not going to be one way.
Over at Lemoyne, so this was the one that this group discussed and approved. Think, you know, Forest and North Avenue or Quick at Harlem. We're going to be creating kind of this blockade shown in red here out of these barriers. So we're going to kind of funnel people to the south edge of the pavement and then force them southbound onto Harlem. Nobody will be able to turn in off of Harlem in any one direction. No westbound traffic there. The one way, really necessary because nobody there are no vehicles coming into the pavement here at any point. But they can't, they're coming off of the alley, so they're already west of the one-way zone. So it was still all approved. This doesn't really change anything, just one more sign up there for everybody to hammer it home. So again, forces all that traffic southbound onto Harlem. The one thing that the board did tack on was basically the same treatment down at Greenfield. And then we've got some stop sign changes. This group had approved, so we show a four-way stop, a proposed four-way stop over at William and Greenfield here. This group had originally approved it at Clinton. We were kind of creating those two-block stretches. Board, public discussion and everything, felt that since Clinton and Bonnie were quote unquote protected with those cul-de-sacs, that there would potentially be an influx of traffic down William Street. And so they opted to relocate that four-way stop a block west at William. See, you know, what comes of that with this stretch down Greenfield. But we're also putting that crosswalk at Greenfield where it enters the Fenwick baseball field parking. And that was the totality of what was approved, ultimately. I don't know, in talking to our operations team,
those are
not lit and flat. They might have been installed already. I think our guys were doing the stop signs and these earlier this week. Post-mounted signage on both sides there, those yellow signs, and then we're striping the crosswalks hopefully soon. The rest of our annual striping. So like I said, I think our guys had taken care of the stop signs and that crosswalk. We've ordered enough of these barriers to do Clinton and Bonnie, the cul-de-sac, excuse me. The idea was, in total, we needed like 50 of these barricades, and they're not cheap. So rather than try to order all of them right out of the gate, I ordered enough for the guys to deploy Bonnie and Clinton just to make sure it works. These are feasible. We don't see any issues. originally going to try to get those installed today, but at the last minute, asked to send out notices to everybody on Clinton and Bonnie from Lemoyne to Avenue just to make them aware of these changes. So those went out today, and we're still going to try to get these barriers on Clinton and Bonnie out early next week. I mean, that all goes well. The following week, I'll order the rest of the barricades, and we'll get Lemoyne care of back end of November.
Residents come in at I received phone at meeting out goes down Clint. Now we're going to get walloped here, William. And I said, you know, go to the meeting. You know, we sat here and we, you know, 2 hours an evening for two meetings, and there were the same five people sitting out there. Turns were invited up. Now it's upstairs. Now you get to go deal with them. And I told them to do. I said, go for the board meeting and William. Did they get anything, or did they sleep through?
A little bit. That's why the stop signs got moved over to William.
Mm-hmm.
Bulk a while ago, bulk of the conversation that I recall was there was more concern about Greenfield than Harlem. So my recollection was that most of the
– What did we
– Nothing.
That's just simply because we didn't.
So the board said no need to kick it back to the commission. We just think it's a good idea, so we'll do the same thing that we're – and the stop signs were moved over to William. But, you know – these are significant changes. I mean, this is one little study in one little corner of town, and these are, you know, four or five pretty substantial things. I mentioned it at this meeting. You all seem to try to kind of take this iterative approach to doing these things. The further you get from Harlem, probably going to automatically start cutting down on how many people are bailing out due to congestion. Easy to bail to the right when you're at Bonnie Bray and maybe Clinton. Start getting William and Roe. You know, the question is not as bad, and I'm just not going to see the. You will. And so we're going to take village wide study, and we're going to plug in based on what we see from the public feedback, in one or two counts back into this area already studied, see what effects.
But no, so it seems like we'll be able to see if people complain about knock-on effects. We'll be able to get feedback and
right. No, I'm not saying or advocating doing anything.
Right.
I was just wondering if people brought it up because it's a logical, you know, follow up with
concern.
That. So it's on the books. It's on the records. We're going to look at it and see if there's any issues over there. The problem with William is residents is the Montessori drop off. So that's why that closing it down could be a real big pickle. I even drove past Montessori and I saw that little off of North Avenue. They have a little lot on the west side of their building that could be an alley around. So, I mean, I was thinking about it a little bit because of what the resident too brought up to do something with William. But it seems that we're, again, evolving and moving forward with that corridor, and I'm sure Mr. Gillis is really happy about this.
I am very happy for all of this. Yes.
Yes.
Sent the notices out to the neighbors on those two blocks.
Correct.
What happens if someone faints? I mean, so
yeah.
We're not going to change.
We've already had, and we've literally deployed almost nothing. We did put the signage areas, but I think last week or even the week before, I had received a couple of phone calls from folks who had just caught wind of the pending changes.
Like,
where were they?
don't know. I don't know specifically.
Like John said, they had, how many meetings did we have? But they had all had the opportunity to come and say, I don't want that, I do want this.
So
there's a point where we have to stop.
We've set up, that's fair. What we've set up, though, and Bill and I were just talking about it earlier today, is because we're sending out these postcards and because we all know that it's a lot different once the barricades are actually deployed on all of these streets. So on the webpage where we have all these exhibits for people to go look at, up at the top we added, to supply feedback to this, email Bill. It's not a rolling conversation. It's not something we're constantly entertaining.
Right.
But look, we had five, to your point, we had the same five people coming in, legitimate concerns, but there could be 200 people who are all very much against this. I at least collect that information so that
that's
we can
right.
have an. Maybe this isn't what.
So just a question: when does GPS pick up barricades in for the purpose of?
So Trustee Erica Bachner had already reached out to Google and Matt Walsh, our. The village administrator was on a call with her and Google just this morning about keying them into these changes.
So we have to proactively reach out
correct.
In order to get things impacted.
You're right. Right. But if somebody's Google mapping something on their phone or something, and one of the other concerns that she had brought, Trustee Bachner had brought up was some of like the northbound Harlem left turns onto Lemoyne or Greenfield, or even apparently in some cases route you northbound up to North Avenue to try to have you turn left on. Obviously not a great idea. So he was looking at it from more than just these pending changes, but kind of area and fix all those things, if you will.
But do you know, so if we tell them today, does it up tomorrow or is it months?
I talked to Matt. He kind of debriefed me after his phone call. He said the individual they were speaking with at Google made it sound like, this is not a problem at all. We can make these changes quickly, but until it's done, who knows?
That'll be the real kicker is when,
I mean, you figure all the people that left Twitter will they can help. All right. Well, thanks, Jeff.
Phil gets free lunch.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
This is a beautiful.
All right.
Third.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Hey,
by acclamation. Thanks, Rick. Feel better.
Yep. Thank you. Take care.